After a recent vote to ban Native American names, mascots, and imagery in public schools, some of the dozen affected districts on Long Island are voicing their opposition. One of the biggest concerns is the financial costs of making these changes. Jermaine Smith is a Shinnecock tribal member. He says this is not a viable excuse, and schools had decades to roll out these changes.
I think it would have been incumbent on those school districts to start considering this many years ago. So I don't think that's a valid excuse now. And that's something that they will have to work into their budget moving forward. And I believe they will have time to do that.
Districts have until the end of the 2024-25 school year to either comply or risk losing state aid. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region. Lamont responds to budget proposals from Connecticut Democrats. New York passes a fourth spending extender, and a Mashantucket Pequot farm has been able to expand with a little help from UConn students. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. In Connecticut, Governor Lamont has responded to the two-year budget proposals passed by Democrats in the Appropriations and Finance Committees this week. He says they set the stage for on-time state budget negotiations. WSHU's Ebang Udama reports.
Lamont says he's confident in a budget deal before the session ends in June because the Democrats' proposal conforms to the spending caps and other budget guardrails put in place by a bipartisan agreement in 2017. But he'd prefer the broad-based middle-class tax cut he had proposed in February rather than the targeted changes in the Democrats' plan.
It makes it easier for me to recruit and hold companies to say I have a broad-based tax cut, and it's not short term, it's not a credit, it's something you can count on. But look, you sit down and you negotiate these things.
Lamont's proposal would eliminate state income taxes for families making less than $50,000 a year and reduce taxes for those earning up to $100,000 a year. It would save taxpayers about $50 a week. The Democrats' plan, which is more narrow, would save eligible taxpayers about $30 a week. Ebang Udama, WSHU News.
In New York, Governor Hochul and the state legislature passed a fourth spending extender yesterday to get New York through the next few days. Karen DeWitt reports the state budget is now nearly 3 weeks late and will not be completed this week.
Senate leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says there will not be any agreement on a new spending plan until at least Monday.
Unfortunately, it's not this week.
But she says they are at the beginning of the end of discussions.
I hope that we are able to just get to a point where I can come in and tell you that it is the end of the end very, very soon.
The Senate leader says the budget is taking longer to settle because Governor Hochul added many policy issues into her spending plan, including revisions to the state's bail reform laws. Hochul is seeking a change that would give judges more discretion to set bail when a defendant is accused of a serious crime. The change would eliminate a clause that requires judges to use the least restrictive means to ensure someone will return for a court date. Hochul, who has not spoken publicly for several days, issued a statement indicating that another top budget priority for her, housing, may be on the ropes. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
The New England Kelp Harvest Week is coming to Connecticut for Earth Day. Organizer Susie Flores says kelp is a seaweed that grows naturally in Long Island Sound and has many environmental benefits.
Absorbing excess carbon and nitrogen from the ocean. Cultivating seaweed can provide habitat for other species, and it can also absorb energy from storm surges. So these are just some of the many ways that these seaweed farms are really a benefit to our shoreline.
Flores is one of several kelp farmers in Connecticut that cultivates sugar kelp, which can be eaten. She also supplies seaweed to local restaurants in the state and Rhode Island. Activities with New England Kelp Harvest Week run through April 30th. Trump tribal members and college students are learning about sustainability and self-sufficiency by working on a farm. That story after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation filed a violation notice against the sand landmine in Noyak. One count is for failing to follow the filed plan to reclaim the mine, and another is for having mined too close to sea level. The violations each carry up to an $8,000 fine. New scanners at Tweed New Haven Airport will eliminate the need to remove electronics from carry-on bags. The use of a first CT scanner began on Wednesday and will continue through the rest of this week, and a second will be installed after that first one completes verification. North Ferry is seeking to raise the price to ride after adding another boat to its fleet and making improvements to its ramps. The exact rates the company is seeking won't be disclosed until next week's Shelter Island Town Board work session. The Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Nation has made progress on its farm in North Stonington. In partnership with UConn, tribal members are learning about sustainability and self-sufficiency. WSHU's Janice Roman reports.
The Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Nation had long owned an expanse of densely wooded land in North Stonington, close to its reservation. But 8 years ago, tribal member Jeremy Whipple, then a public works employee at the tribe, had a vision for what the land could be.
They allowed me to come up here and start clearing the land because it was all overgrown, so I brought it back to what it is now.
Now that parcel of land is Michinok Farm. Equipped with greenhouses that house hydroponic lettuce, tomatoes, and fruit year-round, the land also supports livestock, including cows. The transformation was made possible through the support from the University of Connecticut and the federally recognized Tribes Extension Program. Whipple is now the director of the Agricultural Department for the tribe. He manages the farm along with seven other employees. Right now, they're working to add more greenhouses on site. Each greenhouse on the farm is equipped with long rows of white containers. Seeds are placed in small squares of dirt that will grow into bundles. Water is distributed through an irrigation system from an 1,100-gallon water tank. Bees are then brought into the greenhouse to pollinate the plants. It allows for a harvest year-round.
All of these down here is our nursery. This is all of our stuff that's up.
While the crew manages the farm, UConn provides training as well as food safety classes and supplies. A majority of the food harvested goes to a food assistance program for tribal members. The rest is sold. During the growing season, tribal members receive a box of vegetables every 2 weeks.
Right now, we have 180 members that are signed up for the program, and the grant reimburses the farm, you know, $70 a box that we give out. So that's how, you know, the USDA actually compensates us for feeding the community healthy food.
UConn Extension also helped to set up a youth engagement group to provide agricultural training and science programming. Whipple says the project will strengthen the tribal community and help establish self-sufficiency.
We're trying to be sustainable and, you know, you can't be sovereign without food, you know.
The education goes beyond to also teach members that struggle with health issues like diabetes about nutrition. Whipple hopes the project will encourage their membership to grow gardens in their own yards to have sustainability within their households.
So we're going to train the community, you know, it's community-based. So we're trying to, you know, get the membership and everybody on the same page on growing and, you know, bringing back our traditional roots for gardening and our culture.
The USDA recently funded the project for an additional 4 years, thanks to its success. Whipple hopes to expand the farm and the agricultural products they can grow. He says the tribe will also apply for grants to add a meat processing facility and event space for classes. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this, it's all made possible with the generous support of our listeners. So as always, thanks for listening and for sharing this podcast with your friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.